Thomas Hood famously wrote, "No sun, no moon, no morn, no noon, no dawn, no dusk, no proper time of day, no warmth, no cheerfulness, no healthful ease, no comfortable feel in any member, no shade, no shine, no butterflies, no bees, no fruits, no flowers, no leaves, no birds, November." Well, Hood's prophetic poetry still holds for the most part, except for the intervening variable of global warming. In anticipation of the storms of October and the murk of November, I tidied up my garden. I trimmed back the dead foliage and flower heads, and up the ante on fat balls for the feathered visitors. The untidy corners are deliberately left as nature havens, not, as the boss says, evidence of indolence. Storms certainly came. I watched the forsythia bush at nearly 7 feet high touch the pavers with its topmost leaves as it bent double. I wondered if we would still have a fence by the morning. Last time it went missing, I only found one panel in our street. The rest is most likely still somewhere in the English Channel. My shed roof already leaks. I pondered the possibility that it would not be a problem because the whole roof might blow away. When it finally stopped raining some days later, we put back the fragile feeders and thanked Providence for an intact fence and bushes with flexible foliage. November dawned drearily, then the sun shone, and our 4 feet high osteospermum suddenly became newly smothered in its third batch of bright yellow flowers. A few hoverflies are still picking over it. Then the wind blew again, and it rained, and the temperature dropped 10 degrees, only to bounce back again, at first overcast and then brilliantly sunny. The storm had brought on my sun envy, and I started arranging my annual trip. I still call it an annual trip, despite the fact that circumstances conspired to keep us in Blighty for the last 2 years. The drear continued, and it rained, and it rained, and in between times it rained some more. Then it waned. A November day dawned like the perfect January day, crisp and cloudless, cool but bright. Through my office window it could have been high summer. Gulls soared and drifted, doves purposely crossed the clear blue sky in every direction. 7 parakeets looped in a line towards the park, ignoring our strung-out apples. Who isn't strung out in these stressful times? The sparrow-hawked pair drifted low over my garden at my eye level. On the feeders it was like spring as tits and finches, starlings and sparrows noisily cued, squabbled and fed. A robin rasped and posed for his Christmas card photo session. In the pyracanthus bush, a wren moved like a wood mouse, while dunnocks vacuumed the floor under the feeders. A brown cap found the minute insects that inhabit the flower pot microverse. I took the day and I stored it for when the rain left next. I took the day and stored it for when the wind-lashed rain next obscures my view. My son visited and braved the rain to take the grandchildren to our seaside amusements. We stole an early morning hour or two together to check the storm-tossed sea. It was neither stormy nor tossed, but flat calm. Distant gannets were gliding in sixes and sevens a mile or two out, past the enormous array of wind turbines, and we mused on what might harm. Past the enormous array of wind turbines, and we mused on what alien harm they might do. He laid on the beach to photograph rock pipits, and we trailed inland to see if the winter thrushes were yet stripping berries. But the hedged fields were bare of birds. November no birds? Hardly. But they take more finding, as increasingly November is the switchover month that October used to be. The agri-desert is still our environment's worst news. Farmland birds continue to decline, and we can only save them by caring more about them and less about profit. But there is good news for November. A newly published report shows that the vast majority of seabirds and migrants have little to fear from turbines, as they tend to fly between 2 and 5 metres above the sea. Tall turbines can be a problem for gulls. They fly lower than many migrants, but higher than virtually all other seabirds. High flyers always escape adversity unscathed. Low flyers know how to get by even in the worst times and worst places. It's the middle classes that seem unable to cope in hard times. That's the end.